Hello and welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. Today's discussion is ideally suited for execs in the ISV, ISO, and reseller, that whole new emerging demographic of vertically oriented software as a service tech providers. We're joined today by Jerome Wade, Chief Growth Officer at Finix, as well as David Du, Senior Manager of Digital Acceptance at Discover Global Network, as well as Mercator's own Director of Merchant Services, Don Apgar. Don opens our discussion with some interesting data around the growing acceptance that merchants have for using software providers as opposed to traditional banking channels for their merchant services. Then we dive into the specifics of how SaaS companies are starting their own PayFac services. That's like Finix's sweet spot. Then we get into the age-old tug of war between should these companies buy or build themselves? And then our conversation concludes with some surprising collateral benefits that SaaS companies are seeing from adding a PayFac payments channel. Without further ado, let's go to the show. Don, would you like to kick us off with a brief overview?
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. Mercator has been doing a lot of research into the merchant account and acquiring space and looking at, you know, where merchants obtain their merchant accounts, if you will. Part of our Small Business Insights research that we conduct annually revealed an interesting statistic last year. And what we see is we ask merchants, you know, where do you get your merchant services from primarily? And we're seeing a decline in the number of businesses that say, I get it from my local bank or my local acquirer. And more businesses saying that they get their merchant services from their software provider or their solutions provider for their store, their business. And so it's, you know, this is part of a bigger trend that we're tracking where what we used to call a quote-unquote merchant account, it was like a bank account, is now less of an account per se and more of a software feature, the ability to accept payments from consumers or from customers in your business and process them through your software, more of a feature. So it's really really an interesting trend. I wanted to ask Jerome if you had any perspective on this change that we're seeing in the market.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for having me. So the first thing that comes to mind is just independent of merchants and payments, the growth of SaaS as a business model has just grown exponentially over the last 20 years, the last 10 in particular. And so that is one vector. And then you combine that with a lot of the kind of ease of accepting payments that's happened on both the consumer side and the infrastructure side, specifically when it comes to payment facilitators. You combine those things and what you get is the combination of payments and software being the primary way that small businesses across the world are starting to get their financial services, starting with payments. So one interesting stat that I saw that kind of speaks to why there's such convergence is the average number of SaaS providers that a small business uses to run their company is 7, and some obviously use more. And what that means to me is that the vertical software companies like the ones that Finix supports, they have an opportunity to really simplify the business for their SMBs, whether it's field service operators, restaurants, gyms, schools, whatever it might be. If you can become the system of record, starting with payments, and then layer on things like tip management, payroll, et cetera, that is going to allow you to be kind of the bedrock of how these SMBs run their company. And then from there, you're starting to see other SaaS providers provide consumer solutions as well. So I think these are the things that are driving the growth of merchant services being delivered to small businesses via software. It's both the infrastructure, like what Finix is building, is becoming easier to use. And then SaaS as an independent growth vector is just out of this world and will continue. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is the way the majority of consumers and merchants get their financial services in the future through SaaS companies.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And it's interesting to watch the growth in SaaS because, you know, for the average business user, you know, they don't need to have a server and a space for it and then somebody manage it and upgrade it. You know, they pay for these things, kind of pay as you go. And it makes the software just so accessible, even to really, really small businesses. It's a true democratization of technology.
Exactly.
David, I'm curious, do you want to elaborate on, you know, what's Discover's approach to the SaaS space?
Yeah, so the influx of software companies and the like entering the payments realm has really transformed the payments industry. I myself are about a 12-year veteran, and just what's happened over the past few years has been pretty amazing. actually. Like Jerome mentioned, vertical SaaS companies are unique, and you know, at Discover, we are looking at them differently. We're transforming how we support this emerging community. More and more of these software companies, set vertical SaaS companies, are embedding payments into their offering. And by working closely with partners like Finix, we are gaining a much better understanding into the growth of payment facilitation within this segment and beyond. We have a better idea of who these players are, where they're going, and we are now ensuring that Discover is included at parity to all the other networks.
Awesome. Jerome, our next question's headed your way. Is your impression that these vertical software as a service companies are starting their own PayFax as a component of all software as a service?
Yeah, it's a bit of a spectrum. Obviously, you still have the kind of legacy ISO referral model, independent sales organizations and software vendors. But more and more, you're seeing other things kind of take off over the last decade or so. So outsourcing to a PayFac or converting into a PayFac entirely yourselves. And I think what's driving this is the trends we talked about of the benefits from economics, from user experience of combining everything into one system for SMBs. But also, there's just been a renaissance with mobile technology, with SaaS in general, of the increased user expectations. And so if you're on some of these other models, let's say take the ISO model again, as a SaaS company, you're signing someone up for your software and then kicking them over to a third-party experience to register as a merchant. And oftentimes you're at a disadvantage from parties that have done PayFac integration or at least outsourcing to another PayFac. So at Finix, what we're seeing is certainly companies are coming to us to become PayFacs, and we work with a number of them. But also there's folks who have that as an aspiration someday, but they want to get started now with something that might be a lighter lift and still provide the path towards great economics, more control of the user experience, and a more embedded funds flow, specifically merchant onboarding. And so they're working with Finix both by outsourcing it to Finix as a PayFac and becoming a full PayFac themselves and using the same Finix platform all under the same hood.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of the users, if you will, the SaaS users, the businesses are really pushing the companies in that direction, you know, because it's so easy just to have everything, you know, in one bundle that all works together, kind of the Apple model, if you will, right? Because even though there's still sales agents and ISOs, you know, it's for a business to open a merchant account or buy merchant services, then it's like, well, will it work with my software? How do I integrate? And what happens if I have a problem? And it's just from the merchant's perspective, just so easy just to get everything in one spot, buy everything from the ISV because it all works together. And the ISV just wants an easy way to put that functionality in their software and make it easy for the merchant to sign up.
Yeah, and if I could share a specific example to drive the point home, we have a customer, Club Essential. They do gym, fitness center kind of management software. And so if you look at their business, they have three kind of points of payment. They have club stores, restaurants, point of sale, card present. They also have online subscription management. And then they might have some sort of more ad hoc tipping functionality, like the reserve a tea time, or you want to, you know, tip someone like your caddy. And so they had to go to three different providers to sign up a single merchant. And so that's hard enough. But then to your point, when someone has a problem and the club calls Club Essential, they have to go out to three additional providers to resolve the issue. So that the fate of their customer experience is not in their own hands. And so they made the decision a number of years ago to become a payment facilitator and have now been rolling this model out with Finix under the hood across all of their properties that they own.
Yeah, that's a great example.
Yes, this interests me because naturally, like every week here, we talk about how payments are super complicated. You know, the businesses alone that these industries are running, they're complicated. But then there's also compliance and fraud and risk and daily operations. And, you know, you mentioned there, Jerome, that three different service providers are needed to execute one service. Do you find that software as a service companies are building PayFax on their own, like assembling it in-house or outsourcing, or sort of how's that getting done?
Again, I'll go back to this spectrum. We actually have developed a nice model at Finix called Pizza as a Service, where we talk about how you can consume the different payment models, kind of modeled after like going out to eat pizza at a restaurant. That's the ISO model. Delivery, that's the outsourcing to a PayFac model. And then you have the DiGiorno model, where you're take and bake. You buy it at the store, but you cook it at home. And then the last model is what you're kind of getting at, where you know, soup to nuts, you build everything yourself. You cook everything. You cook the whole pizza yourself. And so what we're seeing more and more is the cost to set up from scratch the PayFac registration, the compliance, PCI, OFAC, sanction screening, et cetera, and as well as just the product experience to do things like dispute management, settlements reconciliation, merchant onboarding, the list goes on. It takes about 18 months on average, we're finding, for folks to get set up, $2 to $3 million up front, and then a couple hundred thousand to a couple million, depending on what you're doing in terms of maintenance cost every year that you have to pay. So across that pizza as a service spectrum, even the folks that are becoming their own PayFac or billing it soup to nuts, they're experiencing that cost in some ways. But the difference between doing it yourself and using someone like Phoenix is that you can outsource a lot of the cost to us, just like you would to a cloud provider. And so we're seeing that not just Phoenix, but other players in the space, like across, you know, ledgering and reconciliation or payouts only, like there's a number of ways that you can get the same benefits that you get from a cloud provider, but specifically for your payments. And so that allows you to shift off some of the upfront cost to someone like a Phoenix. And then going further, we've started to realize that there's a number of smaller SaaS companies that want to become PayFacs later, but they're not willing to take on that burden right now. And so they can shift even more of that cost onto us by using Phoenix as a PayFac. And then that turns essentially into just, as I think you were saying earlier, Don, like the monthly kind of metered billing is what they're paying us rather than a fixed license. And so there's tremendous benefits to outsourcing so that these companies can focus on what they're really there to do, which is solve, you know, some vertical or some niches customer experiences.
Yeah, it's really a paradox for the SaaS company because on the one hand, you know, their users are demanding fully integrated, you know, a complete transaction stack that includes payments, right? And you know, to your point about them controlling the user experience, I mean, it makes sense no matter how you look at it until you get to the $2 million and the 18 months time to market. I mean, that's in the SaaS world, that's the eons. And these guys really don't want to be in the payments business, but they want to offer payments. So I could see where outsourcing some of that, as you mentioned, would be a tremendous advantage for some of these SaaS companies.
In response to that, I'll say like the thing that we're finding is that this line you have to strike between outsourcing, which I fully agree is in their best interest for speed and cost, but then also using Phoenix as a kind of white labeled in the background infrastructure provider, they get a lot more of the control. And so you don't want to give up too much control. That's where you get into the ISO model where the merchant relationship is actually owned by someone else. So you're getting the best of both worlds. You're getting that speed to market, that lowered cost, and the control over your experience and your customer experience, especially, that really drives success in the market these days.
Yeah. No, I didn't mean outsourcing the whole thing, but just the kind of the back office and some of the heavy lifting part of it.
That, exactly.
That you guys can come in and help.
Exactly. Specifically the setup.
So I'm hearing a lot of the classic why to buy, not build in-house, saving time, setup costs, speed to market, technology is expensive, multiplied by compliance and security and so forth. I'm curious, though, Jerome, have you seen other types of benefits just from your experience in the field where businesses have boosted their business by adding PayFac payments models?
Yeah, I might be skipping ahead here. I know we're going to talk about Passport in a little bit, but I think that's the clearest example. Passport Parking is a customer of ours. They became a PayFac a number of years ago, and they offer software in the mobility space, so parking, ticketing solutions for different cities and municipalities. And when we first started working with them, they were managing, I think, 22 different gateway integrations, which, you know, I could tell the end of that story, and you get all the benefits we just mentioned, which you're able to outsource a lot of that infrastructure to a partner like Phoenix. But to your point, Ryan, like the second order effect of that is they're able to get distribution deals that they couldn't have done if they had the previous setup where they were managing those 22 gateways, right? So this has actually started to not only contribute revenue and profit on the balance sheet, but then also get a distribution deal where they're able to get more customers, make it easier to sell into new customers by getting a distribution deal with someone like Google Maps. And so I think that is the benefit of owning your own payments and kind of bring it in-house, even if you're outsourcing parts of it and parts of the infrastructure to a partner, you still have much more control of your own destiny because you're able to approach, you know, a massive partner like Google and say, our payment stack is streamlined. We own everything in-house. Here's our one integration point. And now they can accept payments inside Google Maps at cities around the country. I think it's amazing.
Well, I think there's an element of opportunity cost there too, right? Because instead of spending 18 months trying to build their own PayFac, you know, outsourcing some of the heavy lifting gets them to market a lot sooner and frees up their internal resources to do stuff like Google partnership, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
David, I'm curious if you have, you know, last thoughts surrounding, you know, whether it's added bonuses of adding a PayFac payments model, or if, you know, if there are elements that Discover is bringing that perhaps we didn't have a chance to cover it in the prior discussion.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I definitely want to touch on the compliance aspect that you and Jerome and others were just speaking about. So we're a network, obviously. We have to take risk and fraud very seriously. So what we do, besides having very smart internal folks on the team, but we leverage, you know, voice of the customer to navigate these obstacles and enhance our internal processes. You know, we have to ask a lot of questions and we rely on that feedback. Questions could be something like, what are you and your customers experiencing? How can we work together to address those concerns? And one that's coming up more and more right now is if we discovered, created a tailored onboarding experience for payment facilitators, what might that look like to you? I mean, this kind of feedback gives us the opportunity to revisit our existing rules and regulations that will hopefully lead to a more seamless and streamlined customer experience.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, Dave.
David, from your perspective, would you give us Discover's perspective on the Passport partnership?
Yeah, so parking is a managed vertical for us for many reasons, but one of the biggest reasons is there's been this tremendous growth of integrated payments within that segment. You know, parking is closely tethered to other key sectors like public transit, transportation, and government services. So Passport is actually a great example of a partner that we closely manage. You know, emerging technologies have really layered payment processing when you compare it to the traditional acquiring model. And this leads to a lack of visibility on our end to identify the end customer and even see sometimes transaction data, which could obviously impact fraud. So through this relationship with Passport, we are ensuring a lot of checks and balances, our own acceptance, brand awareness, and product support at every level of the relationship.